I've got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Very excited for a guest in the studio, Jess, after one of the most successful shows coming out of Australia in a very long time, very popular on Netflix, Heartbreak High.
Yeah, it was the remake that we were all waiting for, and it's already been renewed for season two, which is so exciting.
One of the characters, Quinn, is played by Inverleigh local Chloe Hayden, no stranger to Geelong and the Surf Coast. Chloe, thanks for swinging by the studio.
Thanks so much for having me.
How are you feeling, mate? Obviously, Heartbreak High did incredible. It must have been fun to get involved with that experience. And like, I think what's most been spoken about Heartbreak High, the remake or the continuation of the other series, is the diversity, the inclusivity. Yeah. That must have been really cool as well.
Oh, incredible. Like, the fact that, first of all, they cast an autistic person to play an autistic character is, like, not heard of at all. But in terms of diversity as a whole, like, we had the most beautifully diverse cast, and in a way that was so beautiful and genuine and respectful, which not even in Australian television, but just I think in telly in general, is such a rare thing to see.
It felt really real. Like, anyone that's watched Heartbreak High, like, that, I felt like, I mean, without the drugs and alcohol for me.
that was a little bit of my different experience.
I felt like the school life really encapsulated, like, my high school life. Whereas, you know, if you watch an American TV show, it's this kind of disconnect.
Yeah, I can't relate to it as
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was really well done, the way that we were just saying off the air, that it feels like It didn't feel like an Australian TV show. Like, they've really stepped up their game.
Big rave reviews out of America and the UK as well. What's it like knowing, like, when you film this show, especially when it was only really released in Australia back in the 90s, and now it's going big and for a whole different reason? Is that really special to see?
It's so crazy. Like, it's such a surreal thing. Because, like, you know, we filmed this, like, starting back in November last year.
Wow.
So it's been a long time coming. And, you know, like, you're kind of, you're working for 5 months on this show that, like, we weren't even allowed to tell anyone we were filming it. So, not only did, like, you know, the wider population not know, but, like, no one even knew what was happening. So it was such our own little thing. And then to have what we were doing kind of in private for 5 months now be not just viewed on a national level, but be, like, it's in, like, top five in, like, France and the UK and, like, Belgium and, like, all these, like, whack countries. And it was like, what? Like, oh, my God, we're being perceived by everyone.
And this is, like, your first, like, big breakout
major
role
thing,
right?
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, how does that feel going from relative, like, anonymity to finally being able to walk down the street and people, like, did people, like, yell at Quinny?
Here's the thing. We had, like, because we had a lot of incredible original cast members and some people that have done a lot of very big things that were working with us on it. And, you know, they kind of sat our little ensemble down and were like, hey, are you guys ready for, like, what's going to happen? And we were all like, oh, like, shut up. Like, we live in Australia. Like, no one cares about Australians. I'm not even kidding. Like, the day after it came out, I walked out of my house. I was in Sydney and I got mobbed. Like, I was in Central Station in Sydney. And, like, one person was like, oh, you kind of look like Quinny from Heartbreak High. And I was like, yeah, like, that's so crazy. And someone else was like, oh, my God, it's Quinny. And then, I'm not kidding, like, one person became another. They're, like, a police officer had to come because literally blocking the entrance to the train station. I was like,
overnight.
It's so weird. Like, it's the most surreal thing because, like, I live on a farm with my horses and no one cares at all who I am out there. Like, they don't care about people. They're just like, whatever, we literally don't care what you do. And then to go from my life where it's like cows and horses and then to, like, come into the city and stuff, it's like, I'm like Hannah Montana, dude. It's like living two different worlds. It's so weird.
Now, diagnosed or autistic, what was it like getting to represent that character on screen? Because there's not many instances in television shows and movies where that actually happens. Did you get much say in, like, the character of Quinn?
Yeah, massively. So I think when Quinny was originally created, her character synopsis was just neurodivergent, and there was kind of discussions in, like, are we going to actually advocate and promote for the fact that she's actually neurodivergent, and if so, what brand of neurodiversity does she have, or are we just kind of going to code it? And it was so important to me that we actually spoke about the fact that she was actually autistic, because for the longest time we either haven't had representation, or our representation has been like What's Eating Gilbert Grape and Rain Man and stuff like that, or we've had characters which are so clearly autistic but that the networks are like, oh, we don't want to lose people. We don't want to lose viewership.
Unspoken.
We want them to be like relatable, so we're not going to actually make them autistic. So I was like, it is so bloody important that we actually have an autistic person. And they were not only so ready and eager for that to happen, but they had – Quinny was based around we had a neurodivergent writer who wrote Quinny. Her name's Natasha, and she is an absolute bloody legend. And she really advocated for Quinny to be autistic, and she used her own stories. And we had autistic people that were in the writer's room to make sure that it wasn't just my experience and it wasn't just her experience. It was the autistic experience as a whole, to make sure that Quinny was as authentic as we possibly could get her. And I think it really shows that.
100%. Was there a little bit of pressure on you to kind of provide that kind of character for people? Because I imagine growing up not seeing that on your screens would have been tough. And I know a lot of people have since spoken out about the show and said, like, I understand my kids better now because I've watched this character.
It's
like,
so cool, man.
Yeah.
In terms of pressure, the fact that Quinny is so similar to me, like, I put so much of myself into Quinny that we are practically the same person. The only difference is that Quinny is a lot more braver and bolder than I was when I was 16. So I didn't really think there was pressure there that was kind of, you know, on the surface, because I was like, I was just being who I needed to be. Mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily thinking of, you know, another young child is going to look at Quinny and go, oh, I see myself. I was going, I'm going to see myself. And in turn, that also made hundreds of thousands of other young autistic people that have now watched the show go, oh my God, I see myself now. So
yeah,
it was really cool.
Your book, Different, Not Less. I imagine piecing together a book. How old, if you don't mind me asking?
25.
You've got a book and you're 25. That's ridiculous. And can you tell us and give us a bit of insight? Because I imagine your story in that is a lot about, like, being diagnosed with autism and going through that and getting a support network.
Yeah, so my book is called Different, Not Less, and it's a neurodivergence guide to embracing yourself and finding your happily ever after. And it's part biography and part my own story and part self-help and part what I wish my mum had been handed when I got my diagnosis, because she was handed this, like, autism Bible and cried because of what she read in it.
Oh.
And it's what I wish I had been handed, because I went home and Googled it, and the only things I found were people saying that they wish that their autistic kid had never been born and wondering how they can cure autism. And I was like, I thought it was a death sentence when I first got diagnosed. And then I went home and read about it, and I was like, I wish this was a death sentence, because death would be so much easier than what you guys are telling me that my brain is. So basically, it's a book for people that are autistic and that know autistic people. It's basically hopefully going to change these stereotypes and these very wrong ideas that we have of what autism is and how we can create a more acceptable and accessible future.
That's incredible.
It sounds amazing. Yeah. And what an incredible gift for somebody at Christmas time. Yeah. We're coming into that giving season.
So that would be fantastic. Really appreciate you swinging by the studio. Before we let you go, because you're a local and you live in Inverleigh and you've got your horses, can you give people listening across Geelong and the Surf Coast a bit of an inside word on season 2 of Heartbreak High? Are you allowed to? Because it's kind of like, oh, we're just telling someone in town, or is it still
You guys will have to stay tuned.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough, Chloe. Hayden, thank you so much for swinging by the studio.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
Goodbye. Goodbye. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.